Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
We've been talking some baseball there the last segment, so we'll take calls on that if you want, but obviously talking Knicks here. I cannot wait for game one. The dilemma is, although I guess it's not Easter Sunday, but you know, the dilemma is everybody's got plans on here. You'll be traveling. I got to go to my mom's house tomorrow.
Oh, where are you spending Easter? Out east or Jersey?
On Easter Sunday, I think I'll be back home.
Gotcha.
But we get a lot of stuff going on, so for we have to go Saturday.
Yep.
To Long Island to like have our Easter and have my mom celebrate and my sister celebrate Sammy's birthday, which was this week. So
Either way,
on Saturday, that just happened to be the day that we're going out to do that. And now I got the Knicks at 6 o'clock, which, I mean, let's get everything done before six because, hey, these playoff games are non-negotiable. I don't care who you are or what you do for a living. Like, there are the playoff games are non-negotiable.
Oh, that's 100%.
So how are you doing this? Because you will be in Texas.
We have an early flight.
Tomorrow morning.
I mean, fairly early, more like mid-morning, not like, you know, the Roosters early. I think we leave at 10, whatever it is, and we'll get out there. It's an hour difference. Oh, yeah, I'll be watching the game. We usually, as soon as we land, we generally go right to a restaurant, like a Mexican restaurant, get a margarita, have some good food, get into a little Tex-Mex.
Nice.
Yeah, 6 o'clock, well, 5 o'clock there. See ya. Nick time.
Either way, game one of the postseason series, this is what it's all about. So we obviously look forward to that, and we're talking about it. And who's got the most pressure on them from the Knicks' perspective into this first-round series? I understand why you would say Tibbs, BT. I understand why people would say that. For me, it's about the players, specifically the star players. I think they wiped the floor with the Pistons. I think the Knicks are going to win in five. But either way, it's going to be a pressurized first-round series. Paris is in Hoboken. What's up, Paris?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good.
Knicks playoffs, nothing better. Nothing better than the Knicks playoffs, but I had a couple of points to make. One thing about Tom Thibs, I agree with you. Me and my buddies talk about it all the time. It's sort of like the Cavs last year where they were good, but all of a sudden they got a new coach and they hit like a whole new level. And we saw them go like above and beyond. I do think this Knicks team will sweep the floor with the Pistons in five.
Okay.
They haven't really proved much, to be honest with you. But here's the key to the series. If Tom Thibs does not start Cat and Mitch at the same time, no good. He's got to start both because that opens the floor for Brunson, and Cat cannot play defense as a five.
And who would you bench?
I would have Josh Hart coming off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, this is not
take away his minutes, but off the bench.
Good stuff, Paris, and thank you for the call. The more important thing, and we touched on this, BT, after the Celtics game, to me, it was clear. And you know me, I love Mitch Robinson. You need Mitchell Robinson on the floor at the same time as Karl Anthony Towns. He could help alleviate some of the deficiencies with Karl Anthony Towns. My issue is, what are you going to do down the stretch? It doesn't matter really who starts the game, but how many minutes can you play Mitch and Kat together, and are you going to be willing to do that at the end of these games?
No, I'm not. You can't have Mitchell Robinson on the floor, and I've said this several times here leading up to the series, and I even said it last year before he got hurt. You know, I don't mean inside of 5 minutes. I mean, there 5 minutes is still a lot of real estate, but you know, if it's, you know, you're in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, a couple of points either way, I think they just start fouling him. They can't hit foul shots.
Now, the caller said Paris said he would bench Hart.
So would I.
Why not Bridges?
But number one, he's just a better shooter than Josh Hart's not a good shooter. He can't. Yeah, you know, I read an article yesterday, and I really do like Josh, and I respect his tenacity and his well-rounded game, except shooting. You know, I'm talking about the importance of him knocking down threes and how much time he's putting in. Dude, he's never going to change who he is as a shooter. He's not a good shooter.
I know, but
he's not.
I just think he's a better basketball player than Bridges is more talented.
Yeah. Now, Bridges, the physical nature of the Pistons, Hart might be better for the series because he's tougher.
I also feel like Hart more of a facilitator. I know you shouldn't need that with Brunson, but, you know, Hart's a guy who could attack the rim, and maybe then you space out because you're going to have Mitch as a liability offensively on the floor in this setting. If you go Mitch, Cat, Brunson, OG, and Hart, you got Mitch, who obviously is a zero offensively, and you got Hart, who is limited offensively, which is why I can understand going with Bridges, but to me, it's just too, I don't know what Bridges accomplishes. He's not a great three-point shooter.
No, but he's going to have nights, and he's had, I know that he's been a little disappointing and a little soft and a little less than we thought defensively, but I mean, he's had a lot of nights. He shot 7 for 12, 8 for 8 for 13.
How about down the stretch?
I think it depends what
You need.
What kind of look? No, I'm not even going to give you that. That's like a boring answer, which, by the way, might be the right answer. It depends what you need. I got to look in Bridges' eyes. Like, I'm going to be able to tell with him right away, and I mean the coaches. But, like, so, I'm going to tell. We're going to know right away if Bridges wants to smoke.
But that's why I say Hart, because I know Hart wants to smoke. So the only reason why you wouldn't want Hart on the floor, whether it's in the starting five or
spacing purposes,
close it out,
spacing.
Because he can't shoot.
He can't shoot.
Okay, or because, I shouldn't say he can't shoot.
He's not a good shooter.
Because he's not a good shooter. I mean, he's hit some big shots. Last year, he kind of shot over his head.
I know.
When he shoots the ball, you're not that confident, but I at least can look Hart in the eye and say, I know this guy's going to give me everything he's got. He'll attack the rim if he needs to. He's not afraid to take the shot, and he'll also try to find somebody who's open. Whereas Bridges, I'm not. The draw there is, well, he can be a good shooter. He can be talented. He can be somebody that can light it up at any given moment. But the other stuff is not there, and it's just not consistent enough.
What do you think what kind of season, whether it's a number, a letter, or a brief description, what kind of season do you think he's had?
Bridges?
Yeah.
D plus, C minus. I mean, I'm that low on him.
You see, I'm not, and I'm not even a fan at this point. But I think that that's unfair. I don't think that that is accurate or accurately portrays who he's been. Now, maybe we conjured up a ridiculous notion that he was going to suddenly be Scottie Pippen, and that's on us here. But when you look at the numbers, they're really not that different than they were historically. I know you got to watch the games to figure
fundamentally
out how
disagree
he floats.
With it. Well, I also thought Bridges, and by the way, you don't trade all that you did to get him. Brunson was the same thing when he came here. Nobody thought Brunson was going to be a superstar. People mocked the Knicks for that move. He turned into a superstar. I think Leon Rose felt similar about Bridges, maybe not to the level of Brunson, but Bridges in his career, whether it was with Phoenix or with the Nets, he showed he could be a defensive stud and an impact offensive player, a guy that could be a potential star if unlocked or unleashed or utilized in the right way. And to me, he's gotten worse than what he was at his best with the Nets.
I just think he's a little worse shooting the three. Matter, I'm looking at the numbers now. I would not have really known this, but I'm looking at it. So he shot 50% overall, which, you know, he's more of a three-point shooter. I don't put a ton of stock in that. But last year was 44% for the Nets. That is a 6% uptick overall. Now, he dropped from the three-point mark a little bit from 37 to 35. We know that he never gets to the foul line. You pointed out that massive discrepancy a couple of weeks ago. I didn't even realize it was that wide. It's ridiculous how little he got to the free throw line this year. It's embarrassing. I mean, less than two a game.
You have it up here?
I do.
What was it in comparison to last year?
He made the same exact percentage, ironically, 81.4%. But the attempts.
Yeah.
So he went from almost 7 attempts in 2022, 2023 with the Nets.
Per game.
And then the next year with the Nets, he was 4. And this year, it was less than 1.5. But
that's
embarrassing now. But is that softness or is that now?
No, finding a role.
It's a different role. I mean, Brunson missed some time, but, you know, OG's got to get shots. Carl Anthony Towns got to eat. Josh Hart likes
more
to touch him.
To me,
it's not a lot of touches.
More alarming to me would be defensively with him.
Yes, I agree with that.
The whole idea was supposed to be now you have the rim protector in Mitch, elite defender, and you have two premium elite perimeter defenders in Anunoby and Bridges. That's the allure. That was the point of this.
I know. It just hasn't looked that way, though. I don't know why. You know, we're going to learn very fast, Sal, how or what the appetite of Bridges is to be a dog. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you two very quick stats. So, Isaiah Stewart, all right. I think you remember the fight that he had. He was suspended for a couple of games. All right, big deal, whatever. He had 4 flagrants, tied for second, and he had 14 techs, third most in the NBA. Now,
I like him.
I know, exactly. It would have fit in with the old Knicks back in the 90s. Yeah, we love him, sign him up, run a mate with Oak. Now, it's not that he's going to be guarding Mikal Bridges, Well, if there's going to be a time where Bridges goes to the paint, I mean, everybody's going to have to deal with this, but I just don't know how he will deal with this. There's a play, whistles over, little elbow to the chest, you know, set a high screen, flare out that hip and let him know, not going to be an easy series. And I don't know which way Bridges goes from those encounters. He's either going to go in like a turtle up and go with a shell, or he's going to stand up and receive that message and embrace it with an aggressive, I don't mean throwing a punch, but I mean with a response that is required to perform in the postseason to win. I know Brunson's going to man up. I think Towns will.
Towns is going to be next.
I know Hart will. I know OG will. I know the bench guys will. But I don't know if Bridges will. Matter of fact, I would expect them not to more than I do.
And I think that's a problem.
It's a big
problem. Both Bridges and Cat.
But it's a big problem for the Knicks, which is part of my point.
I know, but we got to see what they – I want to see what they do first.
Yeah, right.
Jack is in Smithtown. What's up, Jack? Hey, Jack. All right, Jack is not with us. Arye is calling from Passaic. What's up, Arye?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir. What's happening?
I have a couple quick points about the Mets, if I could get them in, and a quick point about the Knicks.
Yeah, we touched on Soto again.
Yeah, I was at the game last night, actually, so I didn't hear any boos to Soto, but still, the swings were just wild. Like, I don't know what we're getting from Soto, but this is not an $800 million play. Like, the swings were off.
Well, Arye, let me ask you this, and I'll let you get to the next point as well. We all know that. We've watched them. The numbers are what they are. I guess the question is, do you expect him to bounce back? I do. So do you.
Well, I think he is. I think he will bounce back. But to look this bad, like he's not even looking like he's getting close. But it was just like a bad feeling when he's coming up to the plate. Also, another quick point about the Mets. Why don't we even start talking about AJ Minter closing the games? Meaning Edwin Diaz. I know he got the save last night. He struck out two and then got the ground out. But Minter's just looked dominant over the past 2 days. And Diaz has looked okay, but, like, Minter's looked really good.
Yeah, but they're not going to make a change at closer after a few games. What's your Knicks point, Ari? I'm curious.
So the Knicks, I know that the whole year, they really weren't healthy. Meaning Brunson was out for a lot. Robinson was out for a lot. They really played one game when they were healthy. Everyone, McBride, Robinson, Bridges, Brunson, everyone was healthy. That game was a game against the Celtics. And that was a game that they were closest against the Celtics when they were healthy. And they really could have won that game, paid them at the last second three. So maybe I'm saying I'm still optimistic. I think they should beat the Pistons easy. I agree with you, Sal. But I think they really have a good shot against the Celtics, meaning the one game that they were all healthy, they went to overtime with them. And the Celtics had to have a last second three to bring them to overtime.
Yeah, I mean, look, but to BT's point about that, Jaylen Brown wasn't healthy. And now I could argue that Porzingis was on fire. Who knows if that's going to happen? What I would say, Arye, is not to worry about the Celtics right now. You get the Pistons game one tomorrow. Now, I'm in line with your thinking. I think a fully healthy Knicks team that is going to turn it up a little bit is going to be way too much for the Pistons, a young, talented, gritty Pistons team. I respect them, but not to the level that the Knicks are at. I feel like we're under... It's odd, BT, because usually in this town, I mean in every town, but in this town we've seen it lately where we've gone soft here, Everybody overrates or inflates what we are. The Knicks fans were doing that for years with the team.
So you think we do that more than the opposite? You think we're quicker to elevate
I think now, because of the softer nature of, I guess, I don't know if it's just people in general or what... But I feel like in this town, where we used to have high standards all the time, we have now elevated, maybe outside of the Yankees.
Well, maybe because nobody wins anymore, so we'll take what we can get.
Maybe.
Okay. I mean, think about that. That's probably the answer.
I feel like fans have more now overinflated or elevated where they really are, especially Knicks fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yet with this team this year, it's the exact opposite. Whereas, they should be worried about the Pistons. I'm not saying everybody, but there's a lot more they should be worried about the Pistons as opposed to dismissing the Pistons and moving on. And to me, that doesn't make sense because this is actually a legit team.
Yeah.
To where if you're going to be a Knicks fan and believe in a team, this is one to believe in. I'm not saying not last year, but right now they're still one of the best teams in the league. Maybe not on the level of the Thunder, Cavs, Celtics, we'll see. But certainly better than the Pistons. If you're worried about the Pistons going in, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
But that's the answer there. Yeah, they're not on the level of those teams yet because they haven't beat any of them. But they're supposed to be based on the expectations. And that's the root of the kickback here. Like, if this was a year ago, I don't feel this way. Like, I am about the process. I have no problem with things developing somewhat organically. Like, I didn't think in 2020 during the pandemic, I'm not sitting there saying, if you don't beat the Hawks and get to the Eastern Conference Finals, eventually it's a disgrace.
I thought they'd smoke the Hawks.
Well, I did too. I did too. But it wasn't like I was pushing it so forward because it was so early in the process.
Right.
And I knew they had limited players who overachieved, that it was more heart than talent. And last year was the first big, 50 wins on the button. And Brunson, superstar, this, and chemistry. And, like, I enjoyed the slow build. Yeah. And I'm generally all about the incremental rise of teams. I go nuts with a lot of things, I'm generally rooted in reality in terms of projecting what I think a team could be or should be. Like, I don't think the Yankees are a World Series team right now. I said that coming in. I don't think the Mets are a World Series team. Jets and the Giants aren't winning anything this year. But the Knicks were supposed to, like the Rangers. And I don't know why I tapped into this early. They just didn't look right. They didn't feel right. And based on the money, based on the moves, based on the timeline, based on everything else, I have no problem applying the pressure. And I do think they'll beat the Pistons. I don't think it will be that easy, but I do think they'll win. But I'm quite convinced they're nowhere near a championship. And that's just what I feel.
But those are two different things.
But it shouldn't be, Sal. They made these moves to win a championship.
Okay, but if they were 4-6 against the best teams in the league, would you feel better? If they were
honestly, I probably would. Depending upon the optics of the games, like, at least if you gave me a couple of wins, I could say, okay.
But they're still the same team regardless of those results. And those results happen when they weren't whole.
Yep.
Mitchell Robinson is a big piece to what they do, not because of his skill set, but because of what he does. Well, it is because of his skill set. I'm not saying because of his type of player, but what he brings to what this team lacks. He is the missing piece. Because their stars, Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns, aren't good defenders, they need Mitchell Robinson there to have this thing whole. Now, even with him back, I still have question marks about Bridges specifically and what he's going to be. And in my mind, him not being the high-level player that I thought he was going to be or turn into here is going to ultimately prevent them from being a championship team. But Mitchell Robinson being back changes a lot, and we haven't seen that yet. And now we're going to get a chance to see it in the postseason.
Yep. I get it. I'm happy that he's back. We know what he's good at. We know what he's bad at. You know, let me get to Karl Anthony Towns for a second. Every time the 94 Finals comes up to my part.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time, it's subject to change. Max one offer per account.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Utter chagrin. I point out that Ewing shot 37.5% and was thoroughly outplayed by Olajuwon. And people take that as, I'm selling, I'm sure. I love Patrick. So let me now compliment Patrick as I weave in Karl Anthony Towns. Patrick Ewing took many Knick teams with inferior talent. We loved them, but they really didn't have a lot. They didn't have a ton of ballers. They had a ton of tough guys. They didn't have a lot of highly skilled players. Patrick Ewing, year after year after year after year, willed his team into June. All right. And if it wasn't for Jordan, he'd have a couple of rings. I don't see Karl Anthony Towns doing that. I don't trust him enough. I don't trust his toughness. I don't trust his ability to deliver on a nightly basis against teams that are championship ready. I'm not just talking about the Pistons, he'll be fine. But I just have a sneaky suspicion slash fear that when it's time to step up consistently, not in the first quarter, in the fourth quarter, and make big buckets like Patrick did, and get big stops like Patrick did, I don't think he's going
to
do it.
I could understand that, which then leads me to say that's why I wouldn't blame Tibbs. I would think it's more on the players that the team has brought in as opposed to the head coach. We'll continue the conversation about the Knicks. Got to get into some Jet stuff as it pertains to Aaron Rodgers as well. And also, BT, I want to mention Sam Rosen, who, of course, had his last game. So we can talk about that a little bit. And maybe just the future of the Rangers. Now that the season's over, what's going to happen with Drury, with LaViolette? Maybe we give that a couple of minutes as well. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Rangers hockey will never be the same without Sam Rosen. And I know he had a great final year and was honored everywhere that he went, which was great to see. I was at the game that the Rangers did it at the Garden. It was Sammy, my daughter, Sammy's first ever hockey game and first time in the Garden. So that was a thrill for me. It was nice to see Sam being honored again last night, the star of the game, all those different things. But it is from a fan's perspective, it's hard to let go of the one known commodity that this franchise has had for 40 years. The wins were there, the losses were there, there's been up and downs along the way.
Yeah.
But Sam Rosen was the one constant, and it's not a disrespect to anybody who comes after him, but for me personally, and I know I'm not alone, Rangers hockey will never be the same. Congrats to Sam Rosen on a tremendous career. I will miss him terribly when we watch the Rangers next year.
I feel you, and I he's amazing. You know, I don't think it's that different. For me, I mean, obviously the difference would be, you know, I'm talking about somebody passing, but it's kind of the same point. Like, when Lou Carnesecca passed away, for me, I felt like St. John's would never quite feel the same.
Right.
Ironically, they've gotten, you know better in the last couple of years. But it just, there's a symbol of your youth. There's a symbol of connection. You know, whether it's a Rizzuto or a Kiner or Sam Rosen or Sterling, I mean, the voice is eventually a Breen. He's going to fall into that category. Kay, you know, has been doing this a long time. Cohen, been doing this a long time. It's we talk about the companionship that we get from these teams. And yeah, it kind of gets us off scent from things in life that are heavy and hard, like the reality of life. And to be able to go home and, you know, flip on the Knicks and get Mike Breen and flip on the Rangers and get Sam Rosen. You know, it's great when you win, but at the end of the day, it's a companion. Like, now, you know, I know Mike a little bit. I'm sure you've met Sam a few times along the way, but we're in the business. Those who are not in the business, they have a connection that might not be as tangible, but it's probably more important, because think about what it's just, it's a connection to everything that you were probably introduced to as a kid by somewhere, somebody along the way that just fills your life with a soundtrack that's irreplaceable.
Yeah, and my favorite,
really is.
And my favorite thing about Sam, obviously the calls are great and the memories that we have with those calls are great, but he, I think he's just one of the kindest humans. Whether I've interviewed him on, I think I had him on one time was when I was at OR down in the minors, you know, for the Rangers 20th anniversary, whatever it was. But any interaction that I've ever had with Sam, he has been one of the kindest human beings. And in this business, that's saying a lot. I mean, you get a lot of...
A lot of phonies, a lot of fakes.
Yeah.
And, a lot of egos.
And anytime I've watched him...
A lot of backstabbing.
100%. Anytime I've watched him, all the things that he said in these interviews, the way he carries himself... First class, yeah. Every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Very kind man. So, you know, it's sad in a way.
I agree with you.
What really pisses me off is that the Rangers ended Sam's run without a postseason. Like, how disrespectful can you be as a team? You can't even get to the postseason for Sam Rosen, for goodness sake. This pathetic team that won the President's Cup a year ago can't even get to the postseason? Come on, man. I mean, that's pathetic. I'm not asking for a Stanley Cup win. God forbid we ask for that. I mean, it's only been 30 years. This one, as Sam said, this one's going to have to last a lifetime back in 94. But we're coming up on the 50 years pretty soon. I mean, it's going to be 1994 chances like they were 1940. So that bothers me. And it is weird how we've had these runs. Jeter with his final game not being in the postseason, which is insane.
Yeah.
The final game at regular stadium, at the old Yankee Stadium, regular season. Shea Stadium, same thing. Like, it's weird how we think, like, oh, the final year of Jeter or Yankee Stadium or Shea Stadium or Sam Rosen, maybe there's going to be these special things, and unfortunately, we didn't even have postseason appearances.
No, the other thing, too, about Sam, and I'm not going to start naming names, but some people kind of do make it about themselves when they're on the retirement farewell tour. He didn't. That's why you're looking at me.
I'm wondering who you're thinking. You have somebody
I'll
in mind?
During the break. Yeah, I'm sure I got a few names, whatever. I'm not going to throw it out. I'm not going to air it out now. I'm not looking to, you know, be that guy. But it's very easy just to back up what you said about the genuine, sincere nature and the appreciation. You always got the impression from Sam that he was genuinely still grateful, even though he's a legend, like the Rangers were doing him a favor or the fans were doing him a favor by allowing him to be the voice when he's one of the best voices in the city ever. He's great.
BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get a call in on Sam. Larry is calling from Bethpage. What's up, Larry?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Larry?
So, you know, I've been watching the Rangers since I'm a kid for the last 50 years, and no one's ever going to replace Sam. He was outstanding. But I do remember Marv Albert doing the games on the radio, and I think Kenny Albert's going to do a great job. I'm glad it's him. To me, he's going to ease the pain of losing Sam more than anybody else. So I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing Kenny doing the games every day. But you know, no one's going to replace Sam. He was absolutely the best. And I agree. You guys made a great point about him having to go out throughout the Rangers even making the playoffs. It's really sad that that happened. And you just hope that Shesterkin doesn't turn into what happened to the King, where you got this great goalie all these years, and you don't ever win a cup.
He ain't Lundqvist. I got news for you.
They are cursed in a different way, though. They've been fortunate to have this great run of goaltending, and yet they just can't build the right team in front of the goaltender.
I know.
You would think that would be the easier part. Finding the great goalie should be the hard part. They've been fortunate with Lundqvist and now with the Shesterkin.
Mm-hmm.
I know he didn't have a typical Shesterkin year. I still think he's one of the best goalies in the world.
He better be. He's got the highest contract in the world for a goalie.
All right. Fair enough.
What's the difference with him and Soto, except that he didn't join team? He stayed with the Rangers. I mean, you get paid that kind of loot, you got to deliver, period.
Yeah, I know, but I think he's
done. He wasn't good this year.
I think he's done his part. I think it's everything else. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. Again, he wasn't at his best where he was maybe a year ago. I think they just have too many dogs, the bad type of dogs, in front of them, unfortunately.
I think you're right. And by the way, the thing about Kenny taking over, the good aspect of, number one, he's very good technically.
Yeah.
You know, I would have loved to seen Don get a shot. I said that on the air the other day. But Kenny's very good, does all the sports. He's a pro. He's terrific. He's an Albert. What do you expect? He's going to be great. But he's not going to try to be anybody but himself.
Right.
And that's one of the keys. Like,
and he's a Ranger.
Correct.
That's what Ranger fans want. One of their own.
No doubt. When you take over for a legend, I can see why it might be a little tempting to try to, you know, replicate or tap into you got to be you. You got to be what got you to that seat. And I have no doubt Kenny's going to be that guy.
Back to the calls, BT. Dave in Jersey Shore talking about Juan Soto. What's up, Dave?
How you doing, guys? So, you know, if I could just mention about Sam Rosa, I'm going to miss him, too. You know, I miss the big whistle. When that's how long I've been listening to him, when Chadwick used to announce. But I'll definitely miss him. But to get to my 2 points, one, Juan Soto, you know, everybody's making a big deal about this. As long as he doesn't turn into another Bonilla, I'll be happy.
There's no chance that's going to happen.
I hope not, no. But I think I watched every game so far, guys.
Uh-huh.
And he's had some good at bats, he's had some bad at bats. Everybody's expecting everything out of him, but you know, give the guy time, you know, just and get himself acclimated with the team, you know, and I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, how much time though?
One list.
No, nobody's saying he's not going to be okay, but how much time? You know, to BT's point yesterday, where BT, you said they're a few weeks away from it being potentially a loss for a season. If Juan Soto has the first season that Carlos Beltran had, it would be an epic disaster.
I'll give you that.
Now, I said if because I don't believe he's going to do that, but who's to say that? We don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
I hear that, and I agree with you, but I have one more thing. I hope you guys don't get offended by this, but... I listen to your show all the time, and there's a guy named Coco that was sticking up for Pete Alonso at the beginning of the year, and you gave him a runaround, and I think you owe that guy an apology because he's delivering and he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember that call.
Well, I don't remember.
I know Coco's name. Yeah, he's called a bunch.
Thank you for the call, Dave. I do remember. I don't know if it was Coco, but I do remember somebody calling saying that Pete Alonso was going to be in the MVP conversation, and we laughed him off. Now it is 20 games. I'll remind you, it's 20 games. Now, if Coco or whoever made that call wants to call, I will take the L. I did take the L anyway, but we'll apologize to him. We were wrong. You were right. For now. I mean, it's a long season, so I wouldn't be taking victory laps
about Alonso
as it pertains to the MVP. Although the reason why I was able to take an early season L is because I didn't even think we'd see this version of Pete Alonso at all.
Why would you? Why would you?
Well,
because this version of Pete Alonso has never been present before. He's had power. He's had ribbies. He's never hit 350. He's never hit 320.
Correct.
He's never hit 300. He's never hit 290. He never hit 280.
I didn't think we'd see the best of Pete again. And
I gotcha.
not only are we not seeing the best of Pete, we're seeing the best that we've ever seen.
A heightened version of Pete.
Correct.
It's beautiful to see. You got to give him credit. As much as he was wearing it a year ago with his contract stuff, he has found a way to quiet his mind and change a few things mechanically. He's set himself up for... Now, as much as we talk about Soto, like say if Soto doesn't get going soon, then his numbers aren't going to be, you know, what Met fans expected and wanted. Conversely, if Pete stretches this out another 2-3 weeks, then even if he has a drop, which he's going to have a drop at some point, he's setting himself up for a monster season.
Right.
Just 2 more weeks of this.
But to your point, it's one thing if you just make bold predictions without any reason. I gave you the reason many times why I didn't believe in Alonso, and it was his last 2 years. It was the way he looked every time in a big spot last year. He didn't get the job done. Matter of fact, going into last year, I was saying what Coco, whoever was saying this year. Last year, I'm saying Pete's going to have a big year. I believe in him. You and I did the over-unders. I went over 35, whatever it was, the homers. And then he disappointed almost in every big spot. This is the version that we all wanted to see from Pete Alonso. As a matter of fact, it's even better than any version that we could have ever dreamed of Pete Alonso.
It's much better. And, you know, we talk about Juan Soto's body language. The other thing, because anybody could just regurgitate stats, we all know Pete's crushing the ball every night. Pete's body language from day one has looked so different and so good.
Which is why even defensively,
it's
a difference. He just, you nailed it. His body language, he looks like he's playing loose.
He looks happy
and
for
confident.
The first time in 2 years.
Yeah.
I know.
He's not wearing that pressure on his face. God bless him, man, because I love to see that when you turn the corner and you are just seemingly at peace or at ease or confident and comfortable in yourself. Now, the test will be if he goes into a little slump when he comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, everything about him, forget the numbers, to your point, is great. Same thing, the opposite with Soto. Forget the numbers. Everything about him, it doesn't look like himself.
No. And by the way, a little tip of the cap to your skipper, throwing Vientos in a more prominent spot in the batting order last night.
Yeah,
you
and
like
then
that?
Having him pay dividends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, nice to see for a team.
Come
on, Mendy.
No. I know. There's not a lot of options. Like, that's the thing. I look at the Mets a lot. We were talking about this yesterday. I don't need to get back into it now. But, you know, once you get past Pete, the way Vientos was playing, although he's shown, like, his first week was awful defensively and offensively. He's shown some, remember, not hustling down the first base line, you know, that bowl where was that? That was in Florida, right? Was that Florida? I think it was Florida, where it was like kind of in between fair foul, and he just didn't really sell out and go out all out for it. I think that he's shown some signs here night to night of being a little bit better, but it's the, you know, bottom couple of hitters. Like, you don't really have a center fielder right now, so.
Would you keep him there?
I would. Well, I'm not going to mess around the day after he went yard. Yeah, I'm going to run him out there for a couple. Yeah, sure.
Even just regardless of having the back-to-back righties in the lineup, long-term, potentially.
I don't care about that stuff.
I know, you don't really get into
that. I mean, really, what's the other option? Marte's a righty. Beatty can't hit. McNeil, you're not going to put McNeil in the five spot.
I mean, you like Nimmo down. Yeah. No, I know.
I mean, if Nimmo doesn't watch it, Nimmo's going to be hitting eighth if I'm the manager. Might be batting ninth pretty soon.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls. When we come back, we'll get back to the Knicks. Game one, all the pressure that's on them in this series.
Size of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel your joy.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Buck Showalter's favorite, right, Shakira? Is that
shaking those hips, shaking it up the lineup.
Hoff's playing the song, but he says he's watching the video right now.
Yes, that's what he
said. Top five Shakira moves, maybe. We'll do that power rankings next week.
Yes, please.
Are you a big Shakira fan there, Hoff?
Right now I am.
Jeez. All right, let's move on back to the Knicks before we get everybody in trouble. What kind of show is this? This is a sports talk show here. BT and Sal on the Fan, game one of the postseason tomorrow for the Knicks. It almost feels like it's not real, BT. The postseason. Yeah, I want to get into the playoff series, right? Get it going tomorrow. It feels like there's been so much of a wait since the Celtics game, which is the last game that really mattered with the Knicks. You know, what was it, 2 weeks ago now? Was that last week?
I don't think it was quite 2 weeks. Inside of 2 weeks, yeah. Talking about middle, when Tatum hit the three. By the way, he traveled on that, as we know.
Yeah, shocker. Middle that was early last week.
About a week and a half or so ago.
Okay, and now from then to now game one tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know why that is? Because I think not just that period that you're referencing. I just think for the most part, the entire Knicks season has been a referendum, unfortunately, because it's almost unfair to them on what they do starting now.
Correct.
And that's just the way it goes sometimes.
That's why all year long I've been saying I'm not going to reserve judgment ultimately until the postseason. So now their season, I don't want to say now it really matters, but this is what it's about. When they are as good as they've gotten to, it's about the postseason. That's what it is in the NBA.
Yeah, and it's a compliment in some ways because we don't say that like when the Giants won a road playoff game a couple years ago. Even when they were beginning to show signs like, woo, they might mess around to be a playoff team, we weren't like, well, let's see what they do in the playoffs to determine how we stamp this season, because the Giants hadn't reached that level. They hadn't earned that respect yet. We never do that about the Jets because they're never in the playoffs. We don't do that about the Mets. We're going to start doing that more and more about the Mets. Really, the Rangers were the team this year and last year, but the Yankees are the only team that consistently goes through. And it's not necessarily fair, but it is what it is. All right, they're going to win 90-something games, and let's see what they do in October, whether it's Judge or the team.
And even then, because of baseball, there is still the reaction in season. You're right. There's a large part of, because the Mets were always the team that was losing, and it's easier to talk about a team that's struggling as opposed to a team that you know is going to win 90 games at their worst and get into the playoffs. So it was always about the postseason with the Yanks. But baseball's a little bit different, where you could talk about them in the regular season more so than the NBA, where even though we love the Knicks as much as anybody else, it just doesn't.
Why do you think that is? Is it a stat thing? Is it a player development thing, like these young kids give us something to keep an eye on?
No, I think it's just a sport. I think
baseball is more popular.
I think so, and I think it's more fun to talk about on a nightly or daily basis.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Yeah, I think I've now talking Knicks playoffs, not even so much first round. I mean, but although we will. I don't think it's that different. I mean, go back to Mike and Chris. There was always more baseball than Knicks regular season.
Right.
Always.
Yeah, I mean, now that you say it that way, yeah. But remember, the Knicks were old.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Boys in the postseason then, and generally going deep. So it would pick up, you know, this time of year, and you get into
for
the
sure.
postseason, and the Knicks would be the dominant team in town. BT and Sal on the fan. Mark is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Mark?
Boys, how we doing?
Good.
I am excited to call in today and not have to talk about a losing team, whether it's the Jets, whether it's the Giants, whether it's who else. You know why? Because it's Knicks playoffs, baby.
That's
and
right.
And we're ready. You know why I'm excited? You go through the whole regular season. I'm a big NBA guy. And you go through the whole regular season, and everybody tells you regular season doesn't matter. You got to get to the playoffs. Then you get to the playoffs, and it's like, well, Detroit doesn't really matter. We're going to run over them, and then we'll get to Boston. How about we just enjoy it? We're finally here. We've been talking about the playoffs. I'll give you my X factor so that it's not all just roses, because there are high expectations for this team. I do think we win in five. I think there's a better chance it's four than it's six.
Okay. Interesting.
I do. Yeah. I do. And I think Detroit's got a lot of respect. But my X factor, and it's not exactly a bold point, it's Bridges at both ends of the ball. When Bridges defends the three to his capability, the Knicks can win. And when the Bridges shoots the three to the capability, not just the jump shot, I'm not going to overanalyze the game, you guys know better than me, but it's specific to three-point shooting with him. The jump shot, I think, has been underrated for him all year. I actually think he's been better offensively than people have given him credit
for. I was kind of saying that before, too. Yeah, to an extent. Yep. Not from three, but overall, I got you.
To an extent.
Yep.
Totally to an extent.
Mid-range, yep.
But when he can shoot the three consistently and defend the three consistently, boys, I think we got a chance. I'm excited
to call back after
game five to check in, but I'm fired up.
And we appreciate that, Mark. You get back to us throughout the course of this playoff run. I love that energy, and I like the breakdown. My thing would be, where are you getting that? First of all, I like the point about Bridges. I would say that that's the case more as they move forward. It shouldn't be the case against the Pistons. They should be able to beat the Pistons even without Bridges doing that. But where would you feel comfortable about Bridges doing both those things, hitting the three and defending the three consistently, based on what? Not what his time with the Knicks. We haven't seen that.
Yeah, it is 2 percentage points lower, 3-point percentage than it was with the
How
Nets.
Many attempts? You have that up still?
I don't have that. Okay, I kind of moved that. Just know it was 37 change to 35 this year. Overall, he's shooting better, 50% to 43, 44. Free throws right on the button in terms of percentage, but fewer trips there as a Knick. What I don't understand, and I do think the call is right, he has slumped defensively. Now, I don't understand that. I'm not saying that defense isn't a skill. It is, because it's an awareness thing. It's a recognition thing. Even just the way you slip through a screen, up, under, body contortion. Like, there is definitely skill there. I think people just associate skill with shooting or dribbling. No, there's defensive skill as well, and definitely derived out of defensive want. Like, if you want to be a good defender, even if you have no athleticism, you can at least be okay. I can see Juan Soto going into the funk because it's hard to hit a moving spherical object. It's hard. I can see Jalen Brunson's three deserting him because you got guys running out who are bigger. Sometimes you're a little bit out of whack mechanically. You hit the back rim, the front rim. You're in a little bit of a slump. How the hell does somebody go in a defensive slump?
No, it's effort.
I don't know the answer to that.
It's effort and want to, which is why I don't understand that. That's why that should be the given. What he's doing, now the only logical explanation would be he doesn't feel comfortable in this system for whatever reason that is. Maybe with the players around him, what the coach is asking him to do. So it could be his teammates, him maybe not in sync with them on the defensive end of the floor, the coach asking him to do something that he is not familiar. Like, those things to me would make at least a little sense as to why he's not the same defensive player.
Yeah.
But his size hasn't gotten any different.
He's got prototypical size.
All that stuff.
Good enough athlete.
The effort should still be there. Like, that's on the individual.
Yep.
So outside of either just not feeling comfortable or being asked to do something different or not believing in the scheme or the coach, that's the only thing that would make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's a totally different playbook, like an NFL playbook.
Right, okay.
You know, it's still, you guard and wings, and I think that's fairly transferable. I think one of the big things here is that Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson are not good defenders, and it makes him look worse, honestly.
Well, how? If you're talking about him one-on-one being a elite
guys are open more? Think about this. Like, if Jalen Brunson doesn't do his job up top, and he's not. He's going to give you some effort, but he's not going to get much accomplished. And Karl Anthony Towns is okay defensively. I don't think he's very good. And within a 10, 12, 13 second period where the offensive play is being shaped, if Brunson's a tick off, which he often is, if Karl Anthony Towns is a half a step slow, he often is. That does make Mikal Bridges' life a little tougher because now, residually, the guy that he's guarding is going to be able to enjoy a little more space or freedom or whatever because the other guys are getting burned. I'm not saying every possession. I'm not saying it's the reason. But I think it would be naive to think that when 40% of the starters are just bad defensive players in Brunson and Towns, that it's not going to impact him. It is.
Ted is calling from Hewlett, New York. What's up, Ted?
Teddy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Okay.
So, First of all, regardless of talking sports, I listen to a lot of sports talk radio, and I just want to say the two of you as a team are phenomenal. It's my favorite thing. I turn on the radio while I'm driving. I love listening to you guys. Most of the other programs, it's one guy talking. It just doesn't have the same vibe. It doesn't have the same – you don't get the same amount of information, and it's not as entertaining. So – I'm not blowing smoke, and I've always wanted to tell you this.
Thank you.
I just really enjoy listening to you guys, and I love it when you're on the air. I wish you were on the air more.
Keep going.
How much more you want? We're on 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. But we appreciate that very much, Ted.
That's awesome.
No, I mean it. So, and then number two, I'll talk about the Knicks in a quick sec. Been a Knicks fan for 55 years. Had season tickets for 20 years. But just real quick, back to Juan Soto for a sec. I'm a huge Yankees fan. I am so happy with how well Aaron Judge is doing. It makes me not miss Juan Soto at all. And the team's doing well. I think when it comes to Juan Soto, I was a huge fan of his last year. And so here's what I think about Juan Soto. Phenomenal hitter, but psychologically, he's got the same type of attitude that Kyrie Irving used to have, especially when he was like with the Nets. Never happy on the team that he's on. Wasn't happy on the Yankees. When he left the Yankees at the end of the season, he supposedly didn't say goodbye to anybody.
You don't think he looked happy, Ted, with the Yankees last year?
Well, he was playing. Yes, while he was playing on the team, he was. When he left at the end of the season, he didn't give a shit. And
whoa,
then you, all these.
I'm sorry.
I tell you, we do bring out the rawness of the goals. We love the passion. You can't say that. So I let you go. Happy the other day,
come
too.
Come hang with us at a bar the next time we do one of those outings.
Say and whatever you want.
Then we can have those conversations. We can say whatever we want, too, which will be nice.
I love being able to
we got to go within the according to the FCC here, but we do respect the passion.
Kyrie Irving, though? No, listen, I think.
That's a rough comparison.
I'm not going to go there, but I do think there's something to be said for, and there are circumstances, so I get that. He's bounced around. He's had a transient career for a great hitter. That's fairly uncommon. You know, not many players. And again, there are circumstances. I get it. But when you're 26 years old and you played on four teams and you're that kind of a hitter, that's fairly uncommon. I don't know that that's ever happened in the history of baseball this before.
But think of the circumstance. Think of this. The reason why he got traded from the first team was because he wouldn't sign the big contract.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why he got traded from the second team was because they knew they weren't going to be able to afford him, or they didn't want to pay him that. And remember, they had some ownership issues, obviously, with the guy passing. So
yep, for sure.
RIP. But and then he didn't get traded from the Yankees. They wanted to bring him back. So all three teams that he was on would have, certainly the Nationals would have kept him. I believe the Padres would have had they had a different circumstance with the owner. And the Yankees tried to keep him to the extent of they basically gave him the same offer as the Mets.
Oh, I'm not saying that the teams didn't want to keep him. There are certain people who just like to jump around a little bit. But
he signed a. I could understand that if he didn't commit to the Mets for 15 years.
I get that, but now go back to the conversation yesterday, and it's just a guess because we don't really know. Is he pressing, or is he just a little, not unhappy, that's way too strong, slightly less comfortable than he thought he would be in his new surroundings?
Maybe both.
It could be both. It could be neither. Acclimated. It could just be baseball, and that's the nature of the sport. It's cyclical. It's the highest rate of failure, 70%. I don't know.
Because he hasn't failed at baseball before. I'm not saying.
Well, he did hit 246 with the Padres.
Yeah.
He did.
This is not that. He come on, dude. He's hitting to the most double plays in the league. He's swinging at pitches that he never swings at. He's striking out a ton.
I think it's more than he's pressing. Yeah. I do. But again, back to my original point. Now, it doesn't mean that I place this burden of fault at his doorstep. There are circumstances. You laid him out. Every team wanted him back. It was a money thing. But name a great hitter that played on four teams by the age of 26. Now, he also came up older than some guys, so maybe that's not apples to apples. He came up, he was in the World Series at the age of 19. I'm not saying there's none. I can't think of any old-timers that have that volatility to the start of from a team perspective. I don't know. I also don't think he's a great leader. I think and that's okay. I think Juan Soto's the kind of guy that wants to come in and get in his personal baseball laboratory, you know, get his tea work, watch his film, immerse himself in his craft, which I respect. But I don't know how he doesn't have the personality of a Lindor or even a Judge. He's not that guy. He's just a baseball player, and which is fine. To expect more, I think, is probably not going
to
happen.
This is why I think it's about him pressing. Andy Martino yesterday on Baseball Night in New York, who did some reporting on this as to why Soto might be struggling, said last year when Soto arrived with the Yankees, Judge went to him and said, "You don't have to be the guy here. We got you.
I got you."
Well, yeah, but we've got plenty of guys here, but we know that's a great captain. That's a great leader. And telling a guy in Soto who does not necessarily want to be a leader, to your point, wants to go out there and just be himself, but Judge setting him at ease when he first got there, maybe allowed him to ease into that
situation.
Set
the wheels in motion, yeah.
With the Mets, I'm not saying that they don't have that guy, because, you know, Lindor just named captain of the Puerto Rico team for WBC, whatever. Maybe he's going to be Mets captain one day. I don't know what he did as far as Soto coming in, if anybody could say that. I don't know if anybody has the cachet that Judge does, so it's a different dynamic. But it's also a different circumstance with the contract. The 15 years, the most paid contract in sport.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a different circumstance. But somebody needs to go tell him, hey, just be yourself. Don't worry about the contract. Don't worry about being a leader or trying to do too much. We bought Juan Soto. We just want Juan Soto. Maybe he just hasn't gotten to that level yet.
I know there's a lot of guessing here, and we'll eventually see what the answer is. I can promise you this. There is 0.0% chance that Juan Soto got the bag and no longer cares about being great.
Yeah.
That is patently offensive to the way he approaches the game of baseball. It's not even close to being accurate.
We'll continue the calls when we come back. Reset down with the king topic of the day right now.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.